Well, good morning and welcome back. We are just about 8 weeks into a new year. So what happened to your New Year's resolutions? You know, if you're like most people, they didn't last past the first week of February or maybe even the first week of January. Here to help us learn how to make positive life changes that stick is clinical psychologist, speaker, and author, Dr. Bill Diamond. Good morning, Bill, and welcome to Faith Radio.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here with you all today.
Now, you consult a lot of major corporations. You do life coaching for individuals. And I know you've said that many Americans are really in deep need of permanent change. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know about you, but there's an old joke that says every 10 years after high school, there's about another 10 pounds of you to love. And the other joke that I heard was that I went to my 30th reunion, half the people weren't there, and the other half looked like they consumed them. And so so there is a challenge, the battle of the bulge, and we can laugh about it, and there's definitely some fun things about that. But with what we're learning about health and just longevity, you know, many Americans are grossly beyond where they need to be for their health, and there's just a real need to turn that around. And I think we've been trying as a nation, but every state in the union now has an obesity rate over 20%. And when we wrote the book a couple years ago, there were a few states that weren't. And so now every single state, we've got a problem. And then we look at some of the debt ratio, the number of people that will have virtually nothing when they retire. We are a nation that's full of excuses, and we all know better. And I know we have a lot of Christians in the audience. That's my background. And, you know, it becomes a stewardship issue to say, wow, you know, I've been given this one life, and yet there's some areas that will shorten my life and make it difficult for me to serve. And I've got to look at that. I've got to fire my excuses.
Some of the other issues I know that are a big concern to you and to your co-author, Marcus Dayhoff, is have significant issues with addiction, whether that's alcohol, whether that's some kind of illegal drug or even prescription medication. Certainly sexual addiction is a big problem. We are a nation of addicted people, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I think we're made by the good Lord to attach to Him. And if we do not attach to the right things, we're going to find something to attach to. You know, when I was working as a psychologist just starting off, I kind of felt like there were two lists. You know, these are the lists that are kind of the approved addiction lists, a little bit overeating, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then these were the bad things, you know, the drugs, the alcohol. But when we look at it as a whole, you know, over the years, it just became very apparent that we're all struggling with addictive behavior of some sort or another. We say that over the course of our lifetime, even with just alcohol and drugs, one out of every 2.3 people will be affected by their family members or they themselves with alcohol and drugs. So when you look at all the other ways that we can struggle with balance and compulsive behavior, and then look at alcohol and drugs in particular, we are all affected by the tendency to not feel or by other people that have had trouble in those areas.
So you and your colleague, Marcus Dayhoff, you really felt compelled to do something about these problems. You wrote a book called Fire Your Excuses. What excuses does the book specifically address?
Well, you know, the list that we came up with was based on our list that we found working over 25 years or so in clinical practice, and then what we had done corporately. You know, together we've spoken close to 3,000 times now to 500 companies, and we've also had prior practices. And what we saw in both areas were things like blind spots that smart, even godly people had, things that people didn't realize that they were needing to look at, denial. That was a huge part and probably the most important thing, because if we're in denial, we don't look at anything else. Health and wellness, which we've been talking about, good people dying years, even decades early because of health issues that they had ignored. Social connections, you know, we are still a country that has quite a bit of wealth, but yet we are a country that has social poverty. We can talk a little bit more about that later, about just not having enough connections. And that makes a huge difference even in our health and other areas. Communication, the tendency for us to not communicate well together and miss each other, and how that affects our ability to stay together as families and couples and even churches and splits that we see. Time management, people that are spending great deals of time on things that really are not the best versus looking at their giftedness and saying, you know, how could I make time for most important things? We have time for some of our entertainment, but maybe not to do the things that we were best born to do. Of course, finances, we could talk about that and just how we get to retirement, many of us, and not have what we need, but yet along the lines we've spent our money in different ways that don't make sense. And then careers. There's a lot of people stuck in career where situations where they become commoditized. I meet a lot of people mid-career, and maybe that's probably the people that resonate with our message a lot, that know that they can do more. And I've been writing and speaking a lot lately about this third quarter career idea, that what are you going to do in your third quarter after the halftime? You know, this is the second half of your career. Maybe you feel stalled out. Maybe you feel like your job is not as valued. Those are major issues. And finally, as a believer and in general, that we believe the capstone of where we need to look at firing our excuses is in our area of service. How do we make our lives all about giving to other people and making a difference, leaving a legacy? I've never been happier in life than when I'm serving, and yet I forget that from time to time. So those are our eight, Bill.
No, those are great. And, you know, when it comes to service, I resonate with that, Bill. There are times where I look at our family and I say, we need to be serving more. And my wife's a great example of this. She takes our daughter on a weekly basis to a local, it's kind of like a Head Start program for low-income children. And they go and they tutor these kids, they play with them, they read to them, they speak blessing into their lives. And I'm just, you know, so blown away by her commitment to this on a weekly basis. And I look at myself and I go, boy, I spend a lot of time working, and I try to stay healthy, and I've got a few hobbies, but how am I really serving other than occasionally serving at my church? And so I'm glad you included that in your list. Let's go back and look at a few of those areas, Bill. And one of them that you mentioned is social connections. And
yes.
my perception, and you correct me if you disagree with this, but I believe that right now in America, we have this big problem of being a mile wide and an inch deep. And really, social media has a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that social media, they say that if more than a certain percentage of your social media posting is talking about what you're selling, you're really not having a conversation. You're just using online to market. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't confuse that with real communication. And it's interesting, there are a couple kids that were adopted from Africa through a group that I work with in South Africa, and they were in Ohio. And their main response to being here was, you know, when we come home from school, there's not one person out on the street. Everybody comes home, pulls in their garage, shuts the door. Where are all the people, they said. And, you know, it just really reminded me that we're a country, like we said a little bit earlier, that has some means, but we have social poverty. And I love to talk about this study, if I have just a moment, that a classic UCLA study said the average American needs 3 to 4 meaningful connections or times with friends where they can be real every single week to not slip into a state where they're not at their best in terms of their mood. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people that don't come close to that. And people will say, well, can my spouse or my friend be all 4 of those hours? And the answer is really no. And I want to be careful with my listeners here, Bill. I'm not trying to get you to have an affair, but I am saying that you do need a change of scenery. You do need some other people in your life.
So you need
that will hear you.
Whether it's a small group, whether it's a good friend from work, whether it's a golfing buddy, somebody in your life who you can connect with on a weekly basis. We're talking to Dr. Bill Diamond. He is the author of the book, Fire Your Excuses. We're going to talk about a few more of those excuses and how we can overcome them up next here on the Faith Radio Network.